It's time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
Rattler awaits the shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards. I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight jacket.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King Pickens.
To the sideline, caught first down. Woo!
What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter. 2 seconds. One launches a three. Good if it goes. It does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Clemson to the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
We welcome you in, everybody, to the Wednesday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt right here on 105.5 at 97.5 The Roar. It is Wednesday, October 15th, 2025. We are glad to have you with us on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number. If you would like to check in, phone lines and Adams Co-Roofing text line will be open throughout the course of the program today, and we are excited to have you check in with us. A lot on the itinerary for today's show, including some Clemson football discourse. We'll shift gears to preview mode instead of review mode, as we always do on Wednesday, with some interesting stats, facts, and more on the SMU Mustangs and what Kevin Jennings, Rhett Lashley, and co. are bringing to town. We also got a great Friday night slate of games, so definitely want to start to get into that with our Pick'em contest picks due tomorrow. We've got some NFL to talk, some Major League Baseball playoffs, and more. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us on the phone lines or Adams Co-Roofing text line. Both will be open throughout the majority of the program today. And then, of course, two Clemson guests on the itinerary today as well, with Chapel Fowler joining us next segment from the state, going to give us his breakdown of the trip up to Chestnut Hill. And then Landon Walker will be joining us at 10:05 to talk a little bit of Clemson offensive line. I thought it was the Tigers' best performance of the season against the Boston College Eagles. Want to hear if Landon is sharing that same opinion. So definitely excited for that. John, how was your Wednesday? What captured your viewing interest last night?
College football, my friend.
Same here.
Those games were awesome.
Arkansas State game was awesome.
Yes.
I was glued to that one.
I had it on a good bit as well. Watched a little bit of New Mexico State Liberty. That was very competitive. But I think the shocker of the night, hands down, is our own Willie Simmons in Florida International walking into Western Kentucky and slapping the Hilltoppers right in the mouth.
Yeah.
That Florida International team, they're not the most talented in the world. I think we all know that. But, like, they get after people.
They play really hard.
I mean, we saw that early in the season when they had their non-conference game against Penn State, that they got after Penn State in that game, physically, you know. I'm very impressed with what Willie Simmons has done already. It's been very impressive what he's been able to pull off in such short order at FIU of all places, but those guys are impressive, man. Shout out to our own.
Yeah, definitely.
Willie Simmons.
Definitely a very impressive group. Their quarterback got hurt in Keon Jenkins, and then he came back in, and then he went back out. This was the first time in my life I've seen an official injury rule a player out at halftime, and then he was reinserted back into the game after being ruled out. So I'm not really sure what happened there with Jenkins, but like on Twitter, their official team beat reporter was saying, yeah, this guy's out for the game. Lo and behold, second drive of the second half, that Joker trots right back out there. And that's kind of the beauty of midweek Conference USA football, if you will. you don't necessarily know what information's reliable, and you're just kind of rolling with the punches.
I love how we call it beautiful if it's midweek when the G5 football team does it, but when Southern Cal puts out an injury report and plays the guy who's listed as out, then that's considered a problem. I like the differences in the sport.
Yes, it's we're applying that double standard to FIU, but yeah, Western Kentucky, I've watched this team pretty much every game this season. I don't know what in the world happened. I mean, Maverick McIver has been one of the best quarterbacks in the country this year. He just did not have it last night. He was terrible. The run game never really got established. The defense got gashed early. They showed up a little bit in the second half, but if you would have told me that a Hilltoppers team would have put up 0 second-half points, I would not have believed you. This is the same group that put up 41 in their opener, 55 in their second game of the season. Yes, it was North Alabama, but even in their last three victories, 31 points, 27 points, 27 points, the baseline line for this team is usually we're going to roll out of bed and score 25. Last night, FIU had him in the torture chamber, only scored 6 points the entire game and no touchdowns for the first time this season for the Hilltoppers. So goes to show that anything can happen in these midweek games. That was our first upset of the night. Another upset was Arkansas State at the Horn. And I got to say this, this is one I watched from start to finish. This was the one that got like the big screen, if you will, on my television. Gosh, is Bush Jones just an awful coach? I'm sorry. I hate to call him out. I know I want to say we have somebody whose son might...
Scott in Greenville.
Yeah, my work on the set. Bush Jones was killing me, man. Bush Jones was killing me in this game. First and foremost, okay? I have never seen a coach punt multiple times on fourth and one in plus territory in the same game. Butch Jones did that in this game multiple times. And you know what? In complete fairness to Butch, while I did not agree with those decisions... This offense was putrid for the majority of the night, and there were multiple like layup type plays on fourth and short, third and short type situations that Arkansas State managed to screw up. But I'll tell you, don't look at the FBS rankings for this defense because they're lying. This was a motivated Red Wolves defense. Shout out my guy Malachi, who plays safety for him. He wasn't getting a whole lot of tick last night, but in all seriousness, a great performance by a defense that grades out as one of the worst in the country. And it goes to show you, John, this is why you have to show up and play the games each and every Saturday, just as much as each and every Tuesday, because you never know what you're going to get from that unit. So the Red Wolves defense that was bottom three in pretty much every category in the Sun Belt gives up 14 points to South Alabama. They give up 0 fourth quarter points, and they hit a walk-off field goal as time expires to win it. What a game and what a win for the Red Wolves.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. Honestly. I mean, Rainer's a fun player. I don't know if he's a good player. He's a fun player at quarterback there for them. And honestly, I didn't stay with New Mexico State Liberty very long. If I can choose other universities to watch over Liberty, I'm going to choose that. Based on the bangers that we got last night, tonight's going to be pretty good, right? Delaware-Jacksonville State has the chance to be entertaining. And Daniel in Texas, if you're out there listening, the Cover Your Eyes game of the entire week is tonight at 7 o'clock when 1-5 UTEP goes to 0-6 Sam Houston.
Yes.
I'm here for it. I am going to tune in because I can't get enough. And it's you know, sick and twisted in me. I'll admit it. I can't get enough of the Malachi Nelson experience. The former five-star, the hand-picked quarterback by Lincoln Riley, who is going to be like the first real high school guy next to Caleb Williams. And that's he figured out high school guys. And Malachi Nelson is just awful. And he has bounced around. He backed up at Southern Cal, never played, went to Boise, never played, and now he is splitting time at UTEP and already thrown 9 interceptions on the season through 6 games.
He's terrible, man. Like, he's terrible. Some of these interceptions have been awful. It goes to show how bad Sam Houston is that UTEP is actually favored in a football game.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the worst football teams in the entire country. The early game is definitely going to captivate my viewing interest more than the late game. Let's just put it that way. Or I guess they're both at 7 o'clock. I guess I read that wrong. But yeah, I'm watching Delaware-Jacksonville State, and I'm not even going to give this one the service of a split screen. I'm going full screen Hens versus Gamecocks in this one.
Oh, no. I'll be tuning in from a sicko standpoint.
I'll also probably
it's a mean like angle of mine. I know I'll admit it, but
yeah,
I'm still gonna watch it.
I'll probably end up flipping on some Major League Baseball tonight as well. Last night in the world of Major League Baseball, before we shift gears to some Clemson to set up Chapel, Brewers 1, Dodgers 5. The Brewers fall down 0-2 in the series and drop both their home games. I think this is over. I just
The Dodgers are ridiculous.
Get the brooms out.
Yamamoto, first complete game of his major league career, comes in game two of the NLCS because, of course, things like that always happen to the Dodgers, it feels like. And this team looks unbeatable right now, in all honesty.
But I think the American League series is much more entertaining than the one we have in the National League. I have a bad feeling tonight about Seattle.
You think this is like a regression spot?
I think Toronto shows some life here tonight and gets a win. I don't see. I mean, because maybe they would win game four, but if you win the first three, then you feel pretty good about Mariners in five. I have a feeling this series is going to go a little bit of a distance. Like, for Seattle to take both of them on the road is almost too easy. For the Seattle Mariners in the ALCS.
Yeah.
Like, this is almost too easy.
And now they have, like, a massively advantageous pitching matchup, which is like, It makes me feel a little skeptical.
That's kind of like, everything is lining up too perfectly for the Mariners. And I'm pulling for them. This is the team I want to see win the World Series.
But there's
no doubt about
it. Some Mariner coming out at
some point. Right, yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be that easy. But I'll, happily admit when I'm wrong tomorrow when we are at Whataburger. Here in Easley from 9 to noon.
I'm interested. I'm interested to see what happens tonight. I know. So the Mariners don't hit the slider overly well as a team, but Shane Bieber throws the slider a lot. Eugenio Suarez is the one on the team that pumps it. So I think if there's anybody that's going to go deep tonight for the Mariners, it would be Suarez. But I tend to kind of side with John's angle of things, which is everything is going a little bit too smoothly for the most unsuccessful franchise in the history of this sport that's never made the World Series. So being two games away and having home field advantage and feeling the pressure and the bright lights, there might be something to that. And maybe there's something as well to Toronto just kind of getting away from home field and not feeling that pressure. You're down 2-0 and nobody expects you to win, dude. There's something to be said about that and playing free and playing loose. And that's what I'm kind of expecting from the Jays tonight. So it's going to be intriguing. Definitely rooting for the Mariners and hoping that they go all the way, but worried about their chances tonight just because of some of those logical factors.
It's a vibe thing for me. Like, it just,
the history would show that the Mariners are going to blow it.
Right.
So, siding with the history,
I didn't want to say it.
The entire history of the sport where they've never made it to the stage they're attempting to make it to, that would showcase that there's probably a choke in store here. I do think this year's different. I just don't think it's going to go as easily as it's going right now.
Would this, if Toronto wins this thing tonight, and I know we talked about it yesterday, you have friends with very significant rooting interest in this series.
Yes.
Mariners fans. But the Major League playoffs have really lacked drama. They've really lacked anything that's grabbing the casual in.
I don't think it's a great product, just to be honest.
We can have that conversation, but I think if the Mariners start to choke a little bit, I think that is something that if you're Rob Manfred, you're like, yes, please. We need eyeballs.
You're rooting for the choke?
A little bit. Maybe not like a full-blown, like, they don't win the series at all. But, yeah, I think you want to have a little bit of drama.
I mean, both road teams going up 2-0 definitely strip some intrigue from both series. And
I mean, think about, as someone, you are much more into basketball than baseball.
Yeah.
Think about if this happened in the Eastern or Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, you'd be bored.
Right?
Yeah.
You would be very bored, and you would be angry in the month of June. Like, what in the world are we even doing here? We've gone all the way to this point for this?
Yeah, and that's the thing for me about baseball, too, where it's like, if the playoffs don't hit, I've got a really difficult time, like, investing or enjoying myself because feels like a 15-month regular season with 162 games, and it just drags and drags and drags. And then you get to this stage, and it's like, okay, you lose two games, and your season's over. And you just played 162 for nothing, and now they've expanded the playoffs to let half the league in. It's a weird dynamic. I think Manfred's done a lot of really good things for this league. I think the pitch clock borderline saved it with my generation because the Major League Baseball ratings were in the absolute toilet 5 years ago. And Manfred has at least started to bring some of those up and provide a little bit more pop back into the sport. But I still don't love all the rules that have been implemented, specifically that expanded playoffs, John, because here it's a logical fallacy for me from this perspective. Why are you playing 162 games to still reward half the league? If you're letting half the league in, play less games. If you want this to be something where you have this elongated sample size that lasts 6-7 months during the regular season, then let less teams in, because it should be a more exclusive club. You have a more extended set of data points to see who the best teams actually are. And then you throw into the fact that this is the most, like, variance-ridden sport when you come to the playoffs, and the best team usually doesn't win. I don't know. I have a tough time with Major League Baseball.
Well, we have a tough time because neither of our teams are participating.
My team usually participates, man. Like, the last 7 years, even, it's just kind of been like, eh. Outside of the Braves, I don't really watch. Even in the World Series, like, I didn't watch the World Series last year. And that was the most intrigue there's been in the World Series in ages, right? With two high-profile and big-market teams coming in. So, I don't know. I'm watching this year because I have some rooting interest for the Mariners. That's really the only reason I'm watching. I'm not watching the Dodgers play the Brewers. Just not going to do it. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. We're going to shift gears to some Clemson football on the other side. We're going to talk with Chapel Fowler. Also going to talk a little bit with Chapel about his experience up at ACC Tip-Off and kind of building up towards the basketball season and what that looks like in his world. So, we'll take a quick break here on the program, and we'll shift gears to Clemson right after this.
Are your kids climbing the furniture like it's their full-time job? Been there, done that. So save the furniture and really climb a wall at Blockhaven, Greenville's indoor bouldering gym. Think of it as the place where the whole family can burn energy, have fun, and maybe even find their next obsession. New to climbing? Awesome! They've got over 200 routes that change monthly, so there's always something new to try and plenty of ways to burn off that back-to-school energy. Even better, Blockhaven is built for all ages. Kids and adults climb the same walls side by side. It's active, screen-free time that actually wears the little ones out. And hey, you might even have fun too. Just dropping in? Great! Want to come more often? They offer youth memberships, after-school clubs, camps, and even a competitive climbing team if your kid really catches the climbing bug. Mention the Roar at the front desk for 20% off your first day pass. So swing by Blockhaven, where your kids can climb higher, you can try something new, and nobody's stuck on the bench.
When the line goes down, minutes matter. Industrial Motor Service has your back with expert motor, pump, and gearbox service. Whether it's a repair or a replacement, Industrial Motor Service has you covered. For over 35 years, maintenance teams across the upstate have trusted IMS for fast turnarounds, reliable workmanship, and 24/7 support. Because downtime isn't just lost time. It's lost production. IMS, keeping the upstate running since 1989. Learn more at industrialmotorservice.com.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Swamp Fox Distilling in Pendleton has partnered with The Roar, and we're raising money for Tigers for Tatas. Throughout the entire month of October, they're donating 50% of their sales of orange and vanilla all-in rum and all-pink merchandise. They also have raffle baskets that include rum bottles signed by head coach Dabo Sweeney and others. Visit Swamp Fox Distilling, located at 128 Exchange Street, downtown Pendleton on the Square. Open Thursday through Saturday from 2 to 7 p.m.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around the baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay. Turf grass management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Hey, Tiger fans. I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Hey, Mom, checking in on you and Dad. I saw there was a huge storm in your area last night.
Oh, we're great. Power is out in our neighborhood, but thank goodness our Generac home standby generator gave us backup power so your father could sleep. We didn't skip a beat.
Oh, wonderful. I know that CPAP is his lifeline at night, and with me living a state away, I can rest easy knowing you're both safe. Love you, Mom.
Love you too, son.
Call Central Electrical Services at 864-556-8002 for your free estimate today and peace of mind for your loved ones.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
With the new IHOP value menu, $6 is all it takes to go to your happy place, where stacks of pancakes with bacon and eggs are just $6 every day. French toast, sausage, and eggs are, you guessed it, $6. And fluffy omelets come with a side of pancakes and only cost $6. Go to your happy place every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations. Available every day for a limited time at participating restaurants in the U.S. Hours may vary, no substitutions. Not valid with other discounts or promotions. Prices may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in for our Wednesday 920 guest, Clemson beat writer for the state newspaper. He also won 4 high school rec basketball championships, is what his Twitter bio says, at Chapel Fowler over on Twitter. Chapel, excited to have you here on the program.
Great nugget there. Good to be on with you guys. Beautiful intro music there. And yes, I was a 4-time high school rec champion. I think I went like 4-for-8 though in terms of converting championship opportunities. So it was kind of a LeBron Cavs scenario where I was getting there, but our teams weren't exactly executing every time. But still got a few. I still have a T-shirt that my mom and my girlfriend have both been begging me to throw away for years from 2016 when I won. And I'm not giving it up. So that's still in the rotation to this day.
Yeah, never give it up. And I might start calling you LeBron now with that little bit of information that we've got, or maybe Chapel James, something along those lines. Describe the 4-for-8 before we get into the Clemson. It was this like a, when did the 4 come? Did you ever have a back-to-back? Did you ever have a three-peat? What was the chronological order here of these championships?
Oh, my goodness. This is my bread and butter. I will say there were a lot of opportunities. I played probably 2 or 3 leagues annually throughout high school, you know, like a fall, a winter, a summer, just kind of what was around in our area. Not all of them were incredibly high level, but some of them were kind of competitive. You know, I won one where I was a sophomore and there were a bunch of really good seniors from another high school on the team and they kind of just ran stuff. And then by the time I was a senior, I won a few where I was one of the better players on the team, but the competition may have been a little sketchy. So I think I ended up winning like 2 as a senior and then lost the very last one I played in, but it was to some of my good friends, so it was all fair. But yeah, I definitely hold that with pride because since then there's been absolutely nothing of any championship type in college or just men's league stuff, so that's kind of my one achievement formally.
Well, there you go. Hey, we're going to let you brag on your accomplishments here, Chapel. Let's hop into some Clemson talk. 654 Roar, if you've got questions for Chapel. Well, how was the trip up to Chestnut Hill? You've done back-to-back hill trips, and then as Sweeney said yesterday, now we're back on the hill this week at Death Valley. So how did Boston treat you?
Yeah, a lot of hills recently. It was a fun trip. That was a really cool little, like, quaint campus. You know, the media parking deck was also like a big tailgating spot, which I thought was a fun little twist. Like, I'm snaking my way up level 3, level 4, and there's all these BC fans with like grills, you know, drinking. And it was this whole like party juice setup right by the elevator as I was walking out. So they kind of, they got down, you know. It's not the biggest stadium, and there were a lot of Clemson fans there, but it was a really pretty, fun, like, fall northern New England vibe. I can see why people love living there. Like, I stayed in the Boston suburbs and kind of just existed as a suburb guy for a few days, and I was in Natick and Framingham and all these other places, and it was really beautiful. The leaves were like the most picturesque, straight out of a Hallmark calendar thing you've ever seen. So it was a really fun trip. Had some early flights, but fun game and fun trip, so no major complaints. There was clam chowder in the press box also.
Wow. Yeah, definitely a trip that I'm jealous I missed out on. Well, Chapel, let's talk a little bit of the game. We got texters getting in with questions for you. 279 says, ask Chapel, please, how can Clemson recreate the pressure we had against Boston College this weekend against SMU? Obviously talking about the Clemson pass rush that was able to get after quarterback Dylan Logarin. What did you see from your perch in the press box that would indicate Clemson was getting home?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, just consistent pressure. I think it was 5 sacks they had, which I feel like has to be a season high, or at least against like a power conference team. I think part of it is they started to deploy that package. I forget, they have a name for it, where it's essentially 3 defensive ends on the field, plus a tackle. You know, I think they had Parker, Pelt, and Lawson on the field all together at various points, and for some reason that really seemed to work. And I think part of that is like a credit to Lawson for really turning himself into a legit pass rusher who can get home. I think his PFF grade and kind of his pressures numbers and all that stuff from the BC game specifically was like the best on the defense. So he really had a good game. So I think part of it is that, a little bit of scheme. And I think just the fact that TJ Parker has kind of locked in and is playing like TJ Parker should is a big help there. And then on top of that, of course, you have Will Helt, who's been arguably maybe the most consistent game-to-game overall performer for this defense. So I think just an elevated effort level and consistency level from some of those defensive ends, plus Helt, had them getting home a lot more, and they definitely need that against Kevin Jennings on Saturday.
Chapel, one of the other things that was really impressive about this performance at Boston College was the play of the offensive line. And, you know, at the top of hour 2, we're going to talk to former Clemson offensive lineman Landon Walker about what we saw on the field, but what did you make of not only the performance by Braden Jacobs, but I also thought this was the best game that Ryan Linthicum, Harris Sewell, and Blake Miller had played this season. Would you tend to agree with that?
Yeah, I would. It was just like, it was clean. You know, I think there was one sack in that game, but it was attributed to Cade by Clemson staff. I think that was just on that play where it was like a 3rd and 1, and he stepped back and ended up scrambling for like a loss of 3. So again, it wasn't really on the line. But I thought, yeah, Jacobs gave them a huge boost. I mean, the way he was moving around, I saw that video that John Blau flipped up of just some of his plays against BC, and that's impressive footwork and speed for a 6'7", like 355 guy or whatever he is. But I thought the entire line played well. I mean, Miller, of course, was the ACC lineman of the week. Like, all their PFF grading numbers and everything were good. And I mean, a second straight week where the game's basically over by halftime. So that's a credit to everybody for playing well. But I thought Cade had all the time in the world and was pretty decisive. And, you know, those things go hand in hand. Like, Cade plays better when he has a good offensive line blocking in front of him. Like, it's not rocket science. So I think him and those starting 5 played super well. I know Parks and Sewell kind of rotated a little bit at right guard. But, yeah, just comprehensive, probably their best game of the year for the O-line.
Yeah, definitely the best game of the year for the Clemson offensive line as we continue to visit with Chapel Fowler from the Skate right here on the Roar. Chapel, want to shift gears a little bit to preview mode for what Clemson's got coming up on the horizon this weekend. It's an ACC championship game rematch. Before we talk about this year's installment of the game, what do you remember last year from the press box up in Charlotte, North Carolina? What was your viewpoint on the Hoosier kick heard around the world, if you will, that sent Clemson to the college football playoff?
That was such a wild game. I felt like Clemson played really free in that game because obviously they kind of, well, they didn't backdoor their way in. They finished 7-1 the ACC, but with the way the schedule was set up, they kind of sat there and watched Miami lose to Syracuse and realized they were in. So I thought that was honestly one of the best games they played all year. Like, they turned over SMU really well in that first half. And then it almost comes crashing down. What were they up 17 in the fourth quarter? And Kevin Jennings, I'm so excited to watch him on Saturday just because, you know, the one time that I've seen him, like, it's one of the best quarterback performances that I've seen in person, like, in years. He was just so clinical and so on point and running, passing. I mean, just clutch play after clutch play to get them all the way back to that beautiful, like, corner pass to the end zone to tie it up. And then I was just sitting there and I was like, there's no way Hoosier is about to boot a whatever 56-yarder, you know, in his hometown area to send Clemson to the CFP. This would be the most, like, random, crazy way for this crazy game to end. And, of course, it happened. So, yeah, that one was epic. There's really not much to do from a writing perspective at that point because you just – how are you going to capture that? And it's such a crazy end of the game. I kind of just sat there for a moment and was like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. And then I had to get to tweeting and writing. But that was definitely an all-timer.
Yeah, definitely an all-timer. Well, this year's SMU team is still good, but maybe not the same quality as last year's group possessed out in Dallas. But they still have that quarterback in Kevin Jennings that's obviously unbelievably dynamic. From my perspective, Chapel, and I want you to share your opinion on this as well, it's as simple for me as you slow down Jennings in the head of the snake, you likely win the game with some of SMU's defensive struggles this year. Do you view it as that as well? Because I kind of feel like it's all on QB1 for SMU if they want a chance to pull the upset.
I think so. I was looking at some of Jennings' stats before I got on here. So he's like 11th or 12th in passing yards per game nationally, 15 passing touchdowns, which is really good in six games. I think he's already at 6 or 7 interceptions, which is close to his total from last year. So kind of similar to Cade Klubnik in that way, where they're both turning the ball over at a higher rate this year than they did last year. And Jennings really hasn't done much as a rusher at all this year. I think he has one rushing touchdown, but his yardage is like just over zero from all the sacks he's taken. So he's really been slinging it and hasn't done a ton of scrambling. So I think if you're Clemson, obviously, you know, that's your guy. Like, I know they lost that Rashard Smith kid who was a really speedy running back for them, some other personnel guys. They've been an okay team. They're, what, 4-2, 2-0 ACC. If you compare them to Clemson, they kind of have a similar resume in terms of, you know, that they've generally beaten up on the teams they're supposed to win against. And, you know, SMU has those two non-con losses to, I guess, Baylor and TCU. They're 0-2 against teams with winning records. Clemson, I think, is 1-2 in those games, with the only win being against Troy. So that's kind of an asterisk one. So I think these teams are pretty similar for the most part. Like, they've lost to the best teams they've played. They've mostly beaten up on the teams they were supposed to beat. So this is really an interesting one, especially, you know, for a Clemson team that's won two straight in games that it is supposed to win and now kind of comes back home and faces probably its toughest opponent since Syracuse, and then Syracuse isn't looking super well at this point. So maybe since Tech, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will definitely be interesting. And Chapel, before we let you go, I'm kind of just going to piggyback on that point. We're halfway through the season, and I've got no idea what in the world this Clemson team is, just to be completely honest with you, right? You could tell me that this team's going to finish 7-5, 9-3, 6-6. I could probably believe all three of those records at this juncture. But with that being said, Chapel, it feels like this is a pretty big crossroads in the season this upcoming weekend, right? You've beat two inferior opponents. It feels like the vibes are back. It feels like the momentum is back, but it's arguably the best opponent remaining on your schedule in the SMU Mustangs. If you're able to go out and notch a victory in this game, do you feel like Clemson has put those first four games behind him and can carry that momentum to potentially run the table, or do you not view this as important of a game as I do?
I'm with you. I think this is a big kind of winning your sails moment. I mean, obviously the records are a little different, the context is a little different, but you think back 2 years ago they were 4-4 and had that Notre Dame game that was kind of a line in the sand for that 23 team that ends up winning four straight and finishing the regular season strong, winning the Gator Bowl. Not exactly in that position this year, but, I mean, they have three straight home games coming up, and this is, like, as critical of a stretch as any. You know, you're 3-3, you're 2-2 ACC. What are you going to do about it? Is this going to be the time where you know, really put it on against a solid opponent, get a good win, and then you're kind of 4-3 and cruising, and, you know, they'll probably be favored in all these games, you know, pretty comfortably against – SMU, Duke, Florida State. Like, what are you going to do with this little stretch at home? Because as Dabo said yesterday, and as the stats kind of reveal, this team has been really average at home recently. You know, they're 7-6 in their last 13 home games against power conference opponents, which is just a crazy thing to say for a place that had a 40-game home winning streak from 16-22. So this is one of those games that I think I'm with you. Like, this is kind of a line in the sand moment. I mean, not like every game's a referendum on the season, but you've spent the last 2 weeks building up momentum by beating the teams you're supposed to beat. And here's an opponent, a little bit more of a pulse, obviously, that has a great quarterback. Like, how does that all play out? Like, this is the game where you kind of show what this progress has been leading to. So I'm totally with you. I think this is, you know, not the biggest game in the world, but I think this is a pretty big one in terms of how the rest of their season is going to go.
Yeah, definitely going to tell us a lot and give us some more information about this football team this weekend. Chapel, before we let you run, tell everybody in the audience where they can check out your content.
Yeah, Twitter at Chapel Fowler and thestate.com/sports is where you can find all my Clemson stuff and everything else from our website.
Absolutely. Well, Chapel, we appreciate you as always, brother. Take care, and excited to see you this weekend back inside of Death Valley at the Press Box.
Yes, we'll get some halftime hot dogs and do our thing.
Absolutely. That sounds like a plan to me. Chapel Fowler with the State, ladies and gentlemen. Chapel, take care.
Thanks, guys.
Of course. Great work from Chapel, as always. Always great to get his perspective on a Tuesday after the last road trips. And then this weekend, he'll be back at the crib here in Clemson, South Carolina, looking forward to the home matchup against the SMU Mustangs. Quick break here on the program. And on the other side, we'll continue with the Clemson discourse and kind of lead that into Landon Walker. And then we'll take a hard right turn at about the midway point, start talking some NFL, breaking down some games. And we'll probably talk a little bit more, John, as well, about this Oklahoma and Texas game, because I've got some short and some long-term thoughts on both of those teams, and we didn't give that game enough shine the last 2 days with getting that third hour cut off yesterday. So quick break here on The Roar.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
Sitting here again today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asks, with the annual enrollment period upon us, will Gary or his agent service my area in Spartanburg? My plan is making a lot of changes.
Great question, listener, and thanks for asking. If you are not our customer already, you should be concerned. My customers get both a letter from their plan in September and my assessment of how their existing plan stacks up compared to the others in October. We sell the Big Seven companies and do not have a dog in the hunt. We want to help meet your needs. And yes, I have agents who work under my supervision who service all of South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. Call today, 864-307-8484.
There you have it, listener. If you're not already Gary's customer, you may not be in the know. Give Gary a call today, 864-307-8484.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row. Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source. At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Owners, listen up. Is your lawn struggling right now? Your friends at TopDressing.com have a solution for you. They will aerate, overseed, and they can top dress your fescue lawn. You see this on the golf course all the time, and TopDressing.com will do this for you. Book a free quote online at TopDressing.com or call 888-850-1850. Tell them you heard about it on The Roar and ask your TopDressing.com for their special online at TopDressing.com. Call 888-850-1850 as TopDressing.com.
If you run a business, you need video. Video for your website, social media, but you don't know where to turn. We've made it simple. Take the Double Dog Video Productions Double Dog Dance. We produce your video, and if you don't like it, you keep your money. We keep the video, we part as friends. A little secret, no one's ever asked for their money back, and you're going to love your video. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
You can count on Ace Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air for HVAC repairs, installations, replacements, and maintenance. Their certified technicians deliver fast, honest diagnostics with the latest tools to solve the real problem, not just some quick patch job. They will give you upfront pricing and a one-year labor guarantee. If that's not enough, they offer flexible financing, first-time customer specials, and discounts for veterans and seniors. Proudly serving the upstate in the bold white and blue trucks, visit acehomeco.com today.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Final segment of hour number one here on a Wednesday with Faxon Childress and John Hite on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. Real quick, before we hop back into the action, I want to tell you about our friends at Fort Hill Natural Gas. Folks, you need to go with Fort Hill Natural Gas. The weather's getting colder outside. Enjoy those cozy nights. Make the most of the winter season with the efficient and reliable choice of natural gas. At Fort Hill Natural Gas, they've got you covered. Whether it's keeping your home warm, heating your water, firing up the grill, natural gas is clean, cost-effective, and it's always there when you need it during the cold weather months. Let Fort Hill Natural Gas keep your family comfortable and your energy bills low by visiting FHNGA.com today. That's FHNGA.com today. Score big on some savings with the folks at Fort Hill Natural Gas. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. Phone lines are open. Adams Co. Roofing text line are open. If you'd like to get in between the guests, being Chapel in the last segment and Landon in the upcoming segment, we'd love to hear from you in this segment. And John, I do want to take a little bit of time here to talk some more Clemson leading up to Landon. We're going to shift gears to preview mode and kind of do that every week at the 10:30 mark on Wednesdays. In review mode, the last couple things that I want to bring up towards Landon and just kind of parse out after Chapel's phone call, what really is this Clemson team right now? What do you make of these past two games? Because right now we have two sides of the fan base and it feels like very few people in the middle. There's one side of the fan base which is, we're so back and we're winning the Natty. There's the other side of the fan base which is, it's never been more over, this team still sucks and they beat nobody and it doesn't matter and everything, the world is crashing and burning and the sun's not going to come up tomorrow.
We've literally had both of those texts in the last 10 minutes, so yes. Yeah, that's accurate.
Yes, so those are the two sides of the fan base right now, at least on the extremes. The right answer, as always, is probably somewhere right in the middle, but it is difficult to try and have confidence in this football team against an opponent with a pulse based off what we've seen in the first four games. And that is where I think it's fair for the people more on the negative side. Now,
sure.
On the positive side, a lot of the things that plagued you in the first four games did not plague you in the last two games. And a lot of that's controllable internally and not about who you're playing. So how do you balance that out for your evaluation of this football team at the midway point? Because it's something I've really struggled with. I get the question every day, Faxon, what record do you think Clemson's going to end with? And every single time I say, I do not know. I don't know.
I have no clue. And I think it's fair to say that I don't know what this team is yet.
Yeah.
I think that it's... You're starting to see some things. I think you're starting to see a offensive line that's finding some confidence. I think you're seeing a quarterback, more importantly, that's finding confidence in the players around him, finding confidence in himself, and finding confidence in his coaching staff. I think the coaches are becoming more confident in the players. I think everybody, like, honestly, I think getting to the bye week and getting away from everyone and coming back, I think, was the right thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. It's hard to take the four-game sample size and say that it's lesser than the two most recent, while also acknowledging these two are two of the worst teams in the ACC. Like, I'm very confused as to what, like, to try to really extrapolate what those games mean. But to me, I think, and it's a team that's a work in progress. It's a team that's still trying to figure out its identity. Do I love that? No, but it's also okay. Because there are so many times in college football where teams, through the month of September, getting parts of October, feel like they've got everything figured out, no issues whatsoever. Then they get punched in the mouth and they fall apart during the back end. Like, I personally, I'd rather, as a fan of a team, I'd rather you struggle at the beginning and then rally and come together later in the season than the opposite.
Yes.
And so I do like what we've... I'm very proud of the response. I was mad about September. I was angry about it. We all were. We were disappointed. It was not their best effort, but I'm proud of the response because I didn't think we were going to get it. I really didn't. I thought what you saw in the month of September was going to be the next 2 months of football, and you were going to be lucky to get to a bowl game. I don't think that's the case now, but I also don't think you are, whether that's the math or your talent, like a league contender either.
Yeah. Texter gets in. A bunch of texts are getting in right now. You are exactly right. The team by Tar Heels has no pulse, is what Uncle Clee says. Yeah, sorry about that. There is no pulse right now in Chapel Hill, unfortunately. Another texter gets in with, is this the most important game of the season? I'll make it simple for you. Yes. Yes.
Every game, the rest of the way, is the most important game of the season.
Indeed. And
that's what Coach Sweeney talked about yesterday. When you put yourself on the hole like you have in the month of September, every game is the most important game to try to salvage and make your season the best that it possibly can be.
And there's a lot of different, you know, kind of nuance to that. Like, here's the thing. We talked with Chapel about this, and I kind of framed it the way I did for a reason. There's no excuses if you win this game this weekend to not win the rest of your games and run the table. Like, that is going... If you win this weekend, my expectations are going to be reset again headed into the bye week. Because the first time we had the bye week, you're 1-3. And everybody came into the season with ACC championship and national championship hopes and aspirations. So what I did during the bye week was, okay, pause. We need to hit the reset button on what the expectations are for this team. Now, you're entering another bye week. If you go from one bye week to the next bye week with 3 wins, all over Power 4 opponents within league play, one of which is against the team that you faced off against in the ACC championship game last year, that's another time where I'll pause and hit the reset button and say, okay, Duke, Florida State, Louisville, Furman, and South Carolina, you're going to be favored in all 5. You might be favored by a touchdown or more in all 5, and there's really no excuse to lose any of those games based off what we've seen through those 3. Now, on the other side of that, where if Clemson hypothetically were to lose to SMU, then again, you're having a reset of expectations saying, okay, maybe they didn't figure everything out in those 2 games against BC and North Carolina. You're sitting at 3-4. Headed into that second bye week. Can you get to a bowl game? Where are the wins on your schedule? So for those reasons and those reasons specifically, yes, this is the biggest game of the season. I feel like this is a crossroads. And again, we use the word turning point up at Chapel Hill. This is a chance to sustain that momentum. This is a chance to sustain that confidence and success, specifically on the offensive side of the football, because the defense has been flying around like their hair's on fire the last couple weeks as well. So that's why I think it's so important, John, is because of what it represents the rest of the way and what a difference between 4-3 and being above that drowning line at 500 and then being below it at the second bye week. There's a big mental difference in that headed into the bye week.
Oh, yeah, no, I would be very worried if you lose this game about what it's going to be like in November. I would be. Because this team is much better than Boston College and North Carolina. Albeit not on defense. Those teams are much better than SMU on defense.
Very, very much so.
Would you be shocked to know that through the same amount of games that Boston College gives up, I think, is that roughly 60 yards less a game than SMU does? I mean... This SMU defense, especially through the pass, is, let me check. No, it's the worst in the league. This is the worst passing defense in the league. Should be. I mean, with the confidence you've built on the offense, if the offensive line translates from the road to at home, if the quarterback play translates from the road to at home. We saw a text a little bit ago come in, 41-24 Clemson. I think that's very much in play. Because they're going to get some points. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Clemson's pitching a shutout on Saturday in Death Valley. But I do think that you should be able to get some points. If you can't, then to all the questions were, are we better or do we just feast on bad opponents? The answer will be you feasted on bad opponents.
So here's a couple breakdowns of SMU in the defense. You mentioned how they're at the bottom of the league in majority of categories for the ACC. Their scoring defense is actually in the top half, but it's super misleading, man. Like, that's a very misleading statistic for them to be in the top half, because you go and you look at the yardage totals, and they're getting popped in the mouth every game. They're giving up 423 yards of offense per game, which is second to last in the league, only trailing Syracuse. You look at the rushing defense, that's been the strength of this defense, right? You're only giving up 107 yards a game on the ground at 3.1 yards a carry. It's a good rushing defense.
Yes.
And then you look at the passing defense, and again, you might be able to go out to Y Beach at the Clemson Intramural Leagues and get the quality of play you're getting from SMU secondary. Dead last in the ACC at 315.8 yards allowed per game through the air. 315.8. And there are a couple games in there to filter the statistics for SMU where they played some real bottom feeder type competition and were able to just pad their numbers from that perspective, which is part of why you see the scoring defense is not atrocious, but this is not a good defensive unit in the slightest. First game against power competition, they play Baylor. Sawyer Robertson throws for 440 yards and four touchdowns in their first game against Power 4 competition. Baylor puts up 48 points of offense. So then they play TCU. They go on the road against Power competition once again. What does Josh Hoover do? 379 yards and five touchdowns on SMU. So yeah, the last couple weeks, they've had their quote-unquote get-right spots as well with Syracuse and Stanford back-to-back. But even Ricky Collins put up 279 passing yards through the air. And then you go to the Stanford game, which is the worst team in this league. Ben Gulbranson put up 278 yards through the air. So you know what my number is here, John? My number of the game this week is 300. Cade Klubnik needs to throw for 300 yards for Clemson to win this football game this weekend. And that is below the average of what SMU is giving up per game, even including your Missouri States and your East Texas A&Ms and your layup wins, and they've got a couple of them on the schedule. Clemson needs 300-plus yards of passing offense to win this one, because SMU is going to prioritize stopping the run as they have all year, and they're going to make you beat them through the air. Clemson's got the quarterback and the skill position players to do such, in my opinion. It's just about executing. You got to go execute.
Absolutely. Well, that's what it's been about this whole season with this team, is execute. And in the month of September, they didn't do it very well. But we've seen so far, through this month, they have. I'm very puzzled. Very puzzled by what to make of this. But yeah, no, I think it's a big game for the passing attack. Because I do feel it was nice to get some confidence in it on the road. Man, for someone who has been as hard on himself as Cade Klubnik has, how good will it feel for the confidence of this offense, for this quarterback of this football team, if they can throw the ball around and score at home, where the crowd responds? Because let's be fair, and the team has not given the fans a reason to be all that loud in Death Valley. We saw it last year against App State. Man, one big passing touchdown can erupt one of the loudest stadiums in the country. If this passing attack could find a little bit of success early in this game, then I know the fans are going to absolutely bring it. And I feel very good about Clemson's chances there. I think you've got a... I'd be excited to see what Garrett Riley is going to script those first couple of drives. How is he going to use Antonio Williams? What are they going to do to try to set up deep shots to Bryant Wesco? Because all the things I think can hit.
So I've got some numbers for you on Cade Klubnik since Antonio Williams was inserted back into the lineup. 300 passing yards per game, 9 touchdowns, 2 turnovers. It's right there in front of you guys. I know they lost the Syracuse game. I know that that didn't go how everybody anticipated. Don't give up 500 total yards of offense to Syracuse would be my advice there. You didn't lose that game because of your offense or your quarterback. So it feels like Cade has hit his stride, not coincidentally, when his number one weapon is back into the fray. The comfort level has increased. The level of play has increased. The feel within the pocket has increased. The offensive line play has improved. And Clemson appears to be playing complimentary football for the first time all season, But that's going to be put to the test in the worst way this weekend against an SMU Mustang defense that's going to be very aggressive against Clemson's offensive line. And I want to talk to Landon Walker about that on the other side of a quick break. Excited to visit with the former Clemson offensive lineman, talk about Clemson's best game up front in Chestnut Hill and how they can translate that to the Valley this weekend. Quick break, hour number two up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT.